It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and spring seems like the perfect time for a new start. But if you're a lawn, August is really the best time to start over. And here to help us find a new start for our lawns is Nick Christians, professor of horticulture at Iowa State University and turf grass specialist. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today. And So, okay, we always hear all summer long from people saying, I need to reseed my lawn, I need to reseed my lawn, and it's never time. Richard Giron tells us that. What makes August the right time for this kind of work?
This is a question I get more than any other question. When should I seed? And I have a favorite date, and that is August 15. So if somebody asks me any time during the year, what is the best time? The beginning date is August 15. Then any time through the next few weeks into mid-September is still good. After that, you run a little bit of a risk of failure. In fact, each day you go after the beginning of October, it's going to be less likely you'll succeed, but it's still a better time than spring or summer. Now, why is that? The primary reason are weeds, crabgrass, goosegrass, foxtail, barnyard grass. There's a whole bunch of warm season summer annuals that germinate in the spring. And they will quickly crowd out, and I'm sure there are people listening out there who have had this experience. They spring seeded, and it turns to crabgrass. Okay, so that is the primary reason. Two, soil temperature and moisture are usually better late in the summer. But the cool season grasses that we grow, like the Kentucky bluegrass and fescues and rye, they will germinate just fine late in the summer, and then they'll thrive all through the fall when they don't have to compete with the warm season weeds. So it's primarily a weed problem.
Okay. So you're giving your grass just a better shot.
Your grass has the best shot at that time of year of any other time of year. Spring, the warm season grasses will just crowd it out. One word to people who have done this year, and I know there's a bunch of you out there who spring seeded, and right now you're looking at it looks terrible, and you're thinking, should I kill it and start over? The answer is usually no. If you planted a good quality lawn grass in the spring, it's probably there under those weeds, and pretty soon, September, October, they'll be gone, and you'll see the cool season grasses coming up through that. Fertilize those, and then put a fertilizer pre-emergence control on in the spring to kill the crabgrass, and it's going to take a long time for it to come, but that would be a better option than starting over.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about overseeding your lawn, because that's something a lot of people ask about as well. What would indicate that overseeding the lawn is a good idea?
If it's very thin, now there's a couple of situations. First of all, you've had a lot of summer damage. You've had diseases. You've had all sorts of problems in your lawn, and it's kind of thin. Now, bluegrass does have a rhizome system underground, and it can come charging back pretty good in the fall without overseeding. But sometimes people want to work some seed in there. This is a good time to aerify your lawn, to poke holes in it and take some plugs out of it. And it's not a bad idea to put some seed back in those aerification holes. Make sure you get good quality seed, but that's a good practice. Now, I spent some time with a lady this morning from eastern Iowa, and she has a problem with lots of tall fescue patches in her bluegrass lawn. Now, one option I discussed with her is right now to core aerify that heavily and then slice tall fescue seed into that and go to a tall fescue lawn. And that, if you've got a tall fescue problem, that can be a solution. Tall fescue lawns are actually pretty nice if you've got a good thick stand of it.
All right, but having a mix maybe not as nice?
Not. If you have a thin mix of bluegrass with a few tall fescue samples in it, they have a broad leaf, they grow fast, they stick out. People hate them, and they want to know how to get rid of them. It's very difficult to get rid of, but one option is to go to a tall fescue lawn. And tall fescue does pretty well in central Iowa and south. Far north, I would have some trouble with it because of winter kill. But central Iowa and south, a tall fescue lawn is not a bad solution.
Now, you mentioned aeration. How often do you aerate your lawn?
I actually don't aerate it a lot. I have aerated. I don't do it every year. Certainly not more than twice a year, spring, fall. For a normal lawn situation, once a year in the late summer, fall time period. And that's where working some seed in it works pretty well. That opens it up. It depends on how much traffic you're getting. If you've got a lot of kids that play a lot of ball out there, you've got several dogs, then aerification, maybe even twice a year, would be good. But usually not more than once a year in the late summer and fall.
All right. And when you do it, is there anything that you need to know, or do you just roll over the lawn and see what happens?
Poking a lot of holes in it is a good idea. Sometimes people rent smaller equipment and they punch a few holes that might do a little bit of good. You'd have to go over it more times. Probably avoid the time when the crabgrass is germinating in spring and early May, because you're just going to bring seed up, and you'll probably encourage the crabgrass. So late summer, fall time period is the right time to aerify.
All right, and we should also be thinking about weed control, if that's something we care about, right?
Weed control for fall or spring? Now, weed control for fall, we control the annual grasses like crabgrass in the spring with a pre-emergence application. I normally pick about April 15th as the target date, but certainly in most of the state you should have it down by May 1. The broadleaf weeds like dandelion, plantain, these sorts of things should be controlled in the fall. There are post-emergent broadleaf products like 2,4-D, MCPP, dicamba, triclopyr. There's a whole bunch of these. And any number of combination products available on the market. All of them are good. They work good. Put those down later in the fall. October, even into early November, is a good time to do it.
All right. And I think the tricky part of this is that, of course, we want to think about planting seeds in the spring, and we're not supposed to do that till August. And then a lot of people don't think about the weeds until they come up in the spring. We're supposed to think about them in the fall.
Very common problem. I'll get a lot of calls in May, and they'll say it's full of dandelions. And the lawn care people have this problem, too. People sign up, and it's full of dandelions. You can treat at that time of year, but the products that I mentioned are also very hard on trees and shrubs and flowers and everything else. And you run a lot of risk of doing damage to other things in the environment. Now, in the fall, after the leaves have dropped their trees, the flowers are gone, the tomatoes are gone, you can come in and not have to worry so much about doing damage to other plants, and you get a very good control of the broadleaf weeds at that time of year.
Now, we've talked a lot about cornmeal gluten on the show with you, because that is a weed control that you have kind of pioneered. This time of year, are there organic controls that you should be thinking about?
With the corn gluten meal, it is a pre-emerge, and we put it on in the spring for the crabgrass, and it's also a good nitrogen source, so about the same time, about mid-April. However, as I worked with it over the years, I started putting it down in spring and fall. I would put 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet down in April, and it would give me the weed control and a nice nitrogen release all the way through to August. And then I'd come in mid-August again and put down another application. And while it doesn't affect broadleaves post-emergently, like crabgrass and clover, what I noticed after 3, 4, 5 years of using it consistently, I had a greatly reduced number of broadleaves. So people who don't want to use standard pesticides, that is one possibility. And I'd put down 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet in April and 20 pounds per 1,000 square feet in mid-August.
And how do you put it down?
With a regular broadcast spreader. It should. There's various types of products out there, but most of them are granulated. They flow good through a broadcast or a drop spreader, so, and just like any other fertilizer.
Is that easy to find at your local garden center?
I see it quite a bit. I haven't looked now this fall to see what's around. It's certainly available by mail order. You can just get on the Internet and find it and get it shipped. But I found it in Lowe's, and I found it in Walmart, and I found it in places like that. You got to just kind of ask them. They might call it natural weed control rather than corn gluten meal, but look at the label, and it'll have those words on it, corn gluten meal.
All right, so you found that to be really effective.
It's not as effective as the chemicals, okay? It's not going to give you the same effect. It's more subtle. It takes more time. You're not going to get as good a weed control. A chemical will give you over 90% the first year. This will give you about 60%. But then in the second year, you get 70% and 80%. And it's if you use it consistently over time, you can have a decent turf area without using any chemicals of the type I mentioned.
Now, we get a lot of calls from people who are trying to get native grasses into their landscape. Is this also the time of year that's best for germinating those seeds?
No, this is the wrong time of year.
Okay, no.
And this is something that comes up a lot. I've worked with the university on this quite a bit, and I've worked with many other people around here. Spring is the best time for that, for those species. And patience is the key. I have run into so many cases where people, they'll see a beautiful area that's like a natural prairie, and what they forget is that that's 8, 10, 15 years old. Okay, it takes a long time.
But I want it now.
You want it, they want it now, and if it's not there in 2 years, they want to kill it. And this is not acceptable. This has weeds in it and stuff. I always tell them, okay, if you're going to do this, this can work. Plant in the spring, usually about the end of May, early June, and then wait 5 years before you make any decisions, because it takes a long time for that to mature and to look like you want it to look.
All right, and in the meantime, do a lot of mowing? Or
some mowing, although you want good, attractive prairie plants that come up and flower, right? Okay, so you can damage those by mowing them off. On the other hand, you might have to spot treat some thistles out and things like that. Burning can be a very important part of it. I was looking at a very successful one in Boone this week and talked to them about how they were so successful with it. It was on the golf course there. And they had a guy that had worked for the state before working on these kinds of areas and knew how to burn. So they had a person who knew all the right strategies, burn in the late fall or early spring. And that seems to work really good. But then patience, five years minimum.
All right. And we're coming up on a break here, but I know a lot of people turn to Iowa State University Extension online to answer their questions, and you guys have made that a little easier.
We have a new website for turf. If they go, simply go, there's many ways to access it. You can go to my name and find it, but go to Iowa State University Extension Turfgrass, and it should pop up. And it's got the blog on it. It's got publications. It's got how to do it brochures. It's got everything.
All right. I'm talking to Nick Christians, Iowa State University horticulture professor, turfgrass specialist as well. Coming up in just a moment, Richard Giron, ISU Extension horticulturist, will be joining us, and they are here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and with me, Nick Christians, Iowa State University horticulture professor and turfgrass specialist, and ISU Extension horticulturist Richard Giron is also here. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being here, and we are here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we'll start off with an email question. This one's from David in North Liberty. He says, the city is offering soil quality restoration grants, which covers deep tine aeration with an application of a half inch of compost. The contractor's also going to seed over the compost. Can you give me your thoughts on compost application over existing grass, best practices, and what to expect?
A half inch, I think you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can get too much. That's a problem. You don't want to build up a layer to where you have a layer of compost over a period of time on top of the grass. A half inch with some seed and deep tine aerification actually would be a pretty good procedure. And they're offering grants or something. I didn't quite get all that.
Right.
But, that'd probably be a pretty good deal. Just deep tine aerification and some seed without the compost would be good. I assume they probably have a composting facility and they're moving some, but not at a half inch. That would be a good practice.
All right. So jump on that one.
Yeah.
All right. 866-780-9100 is the number to call, and Joe is on the line in Waverly. Hi, Joe.
Hello. I was wondering, I'm wanting to overseed my lawn this fall. I started it new from seed last fall, and it's kind of thin in spots. And I'm wondering if I need to spray like a weed killer with like crabgrass killer prior to doing that?
No, definitely not, because that material will kill the seed you're gonna use. So they don't discriminate between the crabgrass and the bluegrass and the rye. They'll kill them all. So you don't want any of that at this time of year. You don't want any chemicals at all. You wanna seed it, bring it up. Maybe a starter fertilizer, and you can get starter fertilizers from local garden shops. But then keep the chemicals off it. You'll still be able to do your broadleaf control later this fall if you seed now in the next couple of weeks, and then do your pre-emerge in the spring.
Oh, perfect. And will the crabgrass just kind of die back itself then this winter, or?
It'll go very quickly, even in September, and even late August sometimes, you'll see it. It'll go to seed, and it's given up, and it won't be long. The first frost will take all of it out, and from that time on, you'll have several weeks for your cool season grasses to thrive. So they need some fertilizer at that time, and then hit your broad leaves in late October, early November, and you'll be in good shape.
Thank you.
All right, Joe, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100. Steve is up next in Johnston. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
My question is, I think the weather this year has really helped my plants grow. Excellent leaves, etc., but no flowers on the hydrangeas or roses. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it might depend upon the type of hydrangea. The old-fashioned white hydrangeas are pretty reliable, easy to grow. But the big-leaf hydrangeas that have the blue flowers or pink flowers, they tend to be very finicky. They sometimes bloom, and they sometimes don't. Sometimes they just form these nice green-leaved shrubs, but no flowers. And there's not much you can do about that. So some plants just aren't reliable performers. So if you have a blue or pink flowering hydrangea, they just tend to be very sporadic. So as far as roses, if you have like a hybrid tea rose, for example, those are produced by grafting or budding. And if we have a hard winter and the plants die back to the graft union, then you have lost the plant. But if the root system is still alive, it's going to send up shoots, and those shoots will grow very rapidly, but they'll typically never bloom. So if you have like a hybrid tea and it stops blooming, that may have happened. And in that case, you simply dig it up and toss and start over.
Oh, great. On the hydrangeas, you're right. It is a pink, and that's the kind of flower I've had in the past.
Yeah.
So just leave it, and next year it should bloom?
Well, hopefully it will. So hopefully what I would do is next spring, let it leaf out, and then cut out any dead wood. And hopefully it will bloom, but there's no guarantee. They just tend to be very sporadic.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Kevin in Jessup. Hi, Kevin.
Yes, good morning.
What's your question?
I have my grass. I have a pretty nice lawn. In the spring, it comes in nice and thick and looks great. But later in the summer, I develop these small dead patches that seem to just die. The grass turns green, brown, and then it looks dead for the rest of the summer. Sometimes in the spring, they come back. But I don't know if this is an insect or something else going on.
Let me ask you a couple more questions about that. Are they about 8 to 12 inches in diameter, and do they sometimes have green spots in the middle where the grass is still alive?
Exactly.
Okay. That's a disease called summer patch, and very common in bluegrass. And it does go away in the fall, but it takes all summer for it to recover. Core aeration, like we were talking about, can help a lot with that now this fall.
Okay.
Maybe a little seeding into the dead spots. There are systemic fungicides, and you got to get just the right one. You'd have to go to the garden store and ask them what works for summer patch. The trick is, well, number one, they're expensive. Number two, they have to be applied before the symptoms develop. Now, that's tricky, because you got to know that it was there, And usually it takes people a couple of years to figure out that this is coming back again and again. You would put them down probably in early June before the symptoms develop and then water them in. And then watering to keep it from going into moisture stress can help too. It's a lot of times moisture stress that'll kick that off. It's a bad problem when you get it.
Yeah. Do you apply it just to the, specifically to the patches or the whole lawn?
It's probably to the area that's damaged. You probably wouldn't do the whole lawn if it's 20% of the lawn that's damaged with it, but I would put it in that area. They usually come back to the same place year after year.
So summer patch, fungicide, check out the garden centers.
Check out the garden centers. Aerify and maybe scratch a little seed in there this fall. It'll come back good. It'll look good, but chances are it'll hit you again next year.
It'll hit in the same patch?
Same patch, same time of year. Yeah. When it starts getting hot, late June, July, that's when it starts showing up.
Exactly right. Thank you very much.
All right, Kevin, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Here's a question from Alice in Muscatine. We have beautiful maple, ash, and blue spruce trees in our yard. They shade the yard and the house beautifully, but I can't get grass to grow well in that part of the yard. Any suggestions?
Possibly a ground cover. Maybe hostas, vinca, lily of the valley, whatever, but possibly... Because of all that shade, all that competition for water and nutrients, the turf grasses aren't really fond of that, and so they're very hard to grow. And so maybe a ground cover. If not that, maybe some mulching, wood chips would be nice, more attractive. At least it's not mud.
Right.
So either a good ground cover or possibly mulching.
All right, and here's a question from Tim in Des Moines. We had a big linden tree and its stump removed several years ago. The ground there is now spongy with small dips. I'm assuming this is because the roots are rotting and the ground is settling. When is the best time to put some soil over the top of this area and seed it? Otherwise, the lawn there is in good shape.
Okay. It probably would have been best this spring to put in the soil and let it settle all summer long and then sow the grass seed in late summer. So I think I would still fill it right now. The problem is it may still settle later on this year, so you may want to sow some seed and expect it to maybe settle, and then you may have to do it again next year.
All right. Here's a question from Cynthia. Our phlox look awful. Mm-hmm. Some have died back. There is a mildew, but that's typical. It's been growing in the same place for 7 years. It's been beautiful until this year. Does it need division?
Well, powdery mildew is very common on phlox, and typically we see it more where you have crowded conditions. And so if they're very, very dense, very crowded, then maybe division might help. We also tend to see more powdery mildew in partial shade versus full sun. So if they're maybe in partial shade, I would move them to full sun early next spring.
All right, it's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. You can join the conversation with your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And we've got Michael on the line next in West Branch. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, I have Creeping Charlie in the lawn, in the flower beds, under the trees, out in the sun. It is kind of taking over.
Okay, well, I'll take this one.
It does that.
It does. In the flower bed, you're going to have to pull it out and dig it out. The fortunate thing is it doesn't have much of a root system. It's not very deep, so you can do that. It just takes some concerted effort. And if you leave portions of the vine on the ground, they have rooted, and so you have to get rid of all of it. So you have to be very, very careful as far as doing it. But you can. It's possible to do. As far as in a lawn situation, basically you need to put on a broadleaf herbicide this fall. It needs to be done twice, about a month apart. So the first application around, let's say, late September, early October, the second one a month later. And the product that you put on should contain either 2,4-D or triclopyr. They tend to be the most effective.
Let me add a little to that. I mentioned the... website, the new website at Iowa State, and the blog. The most recent story on the blog is on ground ivy control, so you might check that one out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good luck with that, Michael. Yeah, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Joan is on the line in Pella. Hi, Joan.
Good morning. I had a question about ewes. The deer nibbled on my nickel ewes by my house. They're quite old ewes, but usually the deer nibble on them. But last year they really ate on them, and now it seems like they hardly made any new growth. They're looking kind of bad. I'm wondering if I could give them a nice, gentle feeding of organic fertilizer yet.
Yeah, I think I would be inclined to maybe put that off until early next spring and maybe do that in, let's say, early to mid-April and encourage some growth next year.
All right, and you think they'll bounce back?
They should. They're pretty resilient plants.
All right. Joan, thanks a lot for your call. And next up, we've got Julie in Fairbank. Hi, Julie.
Hi there.
Hi, what's your question?
He had mentioned looking for a good quality grass seed, and I didn't know what I should be looking for or where he recommended purchasing it.
That's a great question. How do you know you're getting a good quality grass seed?
Okay, it's mostly based on price. Every place that sells grass seed in Iowa has good seed and bad seed on the shelf, and the bad seed is generally there at a bargain, so if they've got this... If they got one that's $15 for a small box and one that's $3 for a small box, don't buy the $3 one. Things you need to watch out for, you don't want any annual rye in it, okay? That's just a very temporary thing. It usually causes problems. And you'll find that about half the seed out there has annual rye in it. It's cheap, it germinates quick, and then it doesn't do well. You want Kentucky bluegrass at this time of year. Preferably with 3 to 4 different cultivars, and then go to a good, reliable store where they know something, where they've got some experts working, and ask them what's your best Kentucky bluegrass seed, and they'll lead you to it, and it will be more expensive, but in the grand scheme of things, it's still cheap. It'll be a few dollars more for your lawn, and you'll get much better results from it.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. And here's a question. We were talking earlier about encouraging native plants in your yard. Cheryl in Iowa City wants to get rid of some. She says, I have a row of cup plants along my back fence. It started out as a single row of plants, but over the years they've started taking over my whole yard. They're in my garden near my house. I can't keep up. I want them gone. What's the best way to get rid of them for good?
Well, probably digging would be an option. The other option would be to maybe cut them off near the ground and put on Roundup to get rid of them. So either digging or possibly Roundup.
All right. So if you, let's say, I mean, cup plants are pretty substantial, although in mm-hmm. the spring you could mow them. Would mowing them kind of decrease their viability?
It would reduce their vigor, but I think they'd still survive quite nicely. And so if you did that repeatedly over maybe a year or two, that might do it, but I think it'd be easier to either dig them up, and they have a pretty deep root system, mm-hmm. or using Roundup on them.
All right. I bet they look amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Impressive, probably 7 feet tall with beautiful yellow flowers.
Right.
All right. Here's a question from Susan. I live in central Iowa. I'm having an ash tree cut down soon. Will it be okay to use mulch chips from this tree on my flower and shrub beds, or would that be a problem because of the emerald ash borer?
Should be fine.
All right.
Most likely they don't have it as far as the insect infestation, so they can use it definitely.
All right. And this one's from David. I have sinking areas in my lawn, a lot of them. What can be causing this and how do I level it?
Wow, that's an email, right? So we don't know how big or how deep or anything like that. This is often a problem. Now, it could be a broken tile or something like that, you know, so it depends on how big. But if it's moderate, if they have some sunken spots a few inches deep, there's several of them through the area, core aeration again, bringing up plugs, raking those level, maybe putting a little extra topsoil, not enough to bury the grass, but enough to start bringing those areas up. We call that top dressing. To kind of smooth that area out, it'd take 2-3 years if they're a little bit deeper, but you can do a lot on smoothing by doing that.
All right, and let's try to squeeze in a call here. Steve in Manson. Hi, Steve.
Hello. Hey, I got a question about fertilizing jalapeno plants. This year I
I just had some 10-10-10 laying around, so I went ahead and used it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some peppers that are 3 foot tall with no peppers, and I got some peppers that are 1 foot tall just loaded with peppers.
Okay. Well, you can definitely over-fertilize. And when you over-fertilize, you're basically telling the plant to grow vegetatively and not to flower and set fruit. So you want to be moderate in your fertilizer applications, because over-fertilization can cause you to have this huge plant, nice, healthy, leafy plant, but very few fruit.
All right. And if you do fertilize, you want to make sure that you're spreading it around evenly, too, right?
Right?
Sounds like some of those plants got a lot and a couple just a little.
And the other thing is that the fruit set is also dependent on the weather. If we have a hot spell, they're not going to set fruit either. So,
all right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. With me today, we have Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension horticulturist, and Nick Christians, ISU horticulture professor and turf grass specialist. And you can join us. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me this hour, ISU Extension Horticulturist Richard Duran and ISU Horticulture Professor and Turfgrass Specialist Nick Christians. They are here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can email us at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Bill is on the line next in Des Moines. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Actually, it's a two-part question. One is that I have a lawn that's mostly a bluegrass and fescue mix, and just some stuff that's crept in from surrounding yards that I've been told is called nimble will. It's a very invasive grass that I've dug out during the winter and early spring while it had died back, but it's come back with a vengeance now during the summer. The other thing, in the same lawn, I've had some large sections of die-off, or what appear to be die-off of the grass. And last summer when I was putting a new patio in, I was digging up some sod, and I found a lot of grubs in the soil, and I treated with a granular insecticide for that. And it seems to be doing it again. I don't know if it's just heat stress in the lawn or overwatering can do that, because I'll water if it looks like the grass is dying off in those spots. I'll usually water that. I don't know. I use a four-step granular treatment every year on this, and it seems like the lawn is getting in worse shape, not in better shape.
Okay. First of all, on the nimble will, I got some really good news for you. For years and years, we couldn't do anything about nimble will, but more recently, there's a new product available called Tenacity. Mesotrione is the chemical in it, and it will selectively kill the nimble will in Kentucky bluegrass. So this is the first time we've been able to do that. It'll turn it snow white. You've got to be persistent. In fact, Richard, you did this in your lawn. How many treatments did you have to do?
Basically three in late summer.
Okay. Don't give up, but that will selectively take it out.
And was the first name you gave a brand name?
Oh, that was a brand name, Tenacity. And mesotrione is the chemical.
Is it generic? Okay.
Yep. The grubs. This is the time of year that they're showing up, and we're seeing a lot of them again. You weren't sure if you had them this year, but if you do a little digging, you'll probably find them.
Right.
It depends on which insecticide. Now, there's one called Merit, which is, help me out, Richard. What's the chemical in Merit? Quinchlorac. No, not quinchlorac. Okay, I'm drawing a blank on that. But
me too.
Merit is the commercial name, and if you put that down early, like late June, early July, it will get your grubs at this time of year, and it works really good. You can buy it in any of the garden stores.
Imidacloprid?
Okay. Imidacloprid, there we go, right.
Imidacloprid. Okay, thank you very much.
All right, yep. Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Next up, Glenn in Muscatine. Hi, Glenn.
Yeah, hi. We grow Asian peppers. They're a chili pepper that's very, very mild in three different gardens. In two gardens, they're doing just fine. In the third garden, the plant looks very good, but the pepper itself is misshapen, and some of them have kind of dead or necrotic spots to them. And we're trying to figure out what's going on in that third garden since the weather is equal and the plants are the same.
Okay. These spots are on the actual foliage or the fruit?
It's on the fruit. It's small, maybe a quarter inch to half inch, kind of the dead part of the pepper, and it's not at the end. It can be anywhere on the pepper.
Okay. I think what I would do would be to take some digital photos of those peppers, nice close-ups, very sharp, very focused, and then send those to our plant diagnostic clinic. And their email address is pidc@iastate.edu. So pidc@iastate.edu. And see if they can maybe diagnose it with some photos.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Glenn. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Larry is up next in Marion. Hi, Larry.
Good morning.
Hi, what's your question?
I have a question about milkweeds. How do I properly start seeding milkweed seeds so hopefully I can attract some butterflies in my yard?
Okay. Well, you can collect some of the seeds as the pods burst open in the next few weeks. And then I would just sow the seed this fall in an area outside, just barely cover the seed. And hopefully next spring some of those seeds will germinate. You can also buy plants from nurseries. There are a number of nurseries that specialize in native plant material, including Ion Exchange in northeast Iowa, so you can try there. So different ways of doing it. But you typically want to collect the seed and then plant the seed this fall.
All right. And what's your other question, Larry?
Also about grasses. I have had a tall grass that I like, but I'm having trouble. The first one I put in, I think, was a tall pampas grass. Then that died out. I went to the nursery, and they suggested I use a giant miscanthus grass.
Mm-hmm.
That did well 1 year, and then it didn't do well. But we did have a bad winter. Is there anything else I would like about an 8 or 10-foot tall grass in this location? Is there anything else that I can make survive?
Well, there are a number of grasses, maybe not quite that tall. A giant miscanthus would be my first recommendation. It is a very tall plant. It grows to basically 8 to 10 feet, typically quite reliable in most of Iowa. There are some switchgrasses that are also very good, not quite as tall, typically maybe 5 to 6 feet tall. But the switchgrass is native to Iowa and does perfectly fine. So maybe the giant miscanthus or maybe some switchgrass.
All right, Larry, thanks a lot for your call. And we'll get a few email questions in here from Karen in Iowa City. We have yarrow taking over a portion of our lawn. We've removed it from the beds, but we want to get grass back where it's being overtaken. What do you suggest?
Yeah, I haven't had a lot of experience with that one. You should be able to selectively remove it, probably hit it late in the fall again. It sounds like you kind of cut it down at this point. Overseeding now, followed by a broadleaf control late in the fall would probably be your best solution.
And if you have yarrow and flower beds, as soon as they're done blooming, deadhead them so they don't go to seed.
Ah, okay. And then you don't have as much spreading.
Yeah.
All right. From Scott, we just built a house just north of Winterset where we have a substantial amount of clay in the soil. We have all kinds of weeds growing in the soil now. The plan is to have this all tilled and then the lawn seeded after that. I have a few questions. First, is there a grass that would grow best in soil that has a lot of clay in it?
Location on this one?
Near Winterset, north of Winterset.
Near Winterset. Tall fescue probably has the edge over bluegrass and that type of situation. You've got to get the right type. You need a good turf-type tall fescue, and you've got to seed it pretty heavy, 6, 7, 8 pounds per 1,000 square feet. And it does take a little more care than bluegrass, but it seems to stand up better to that clay-type soil. Still good old-fashioned bluegrass is acceptable in that situation. It's kind of a matter of degree, how much clay and how heavy the soil is. But you could try tall fescue in that situation, and in your region, it should thrive.
All right. Second question, what would you recommend for a broadleaf herbicide?
There are many good ones. It kind of depends on the species you're after. If it's the standard selection of dandelion planting, the easy-to-control weeds, good old-fashioned 2,4-D does as good as anything. If you have a lot of clover, Creeping Charlie, and things like that, that's where the more expensive products like triclopyr, MCPP, and things like this will probably give you the edge. So there's no wrong answer. It's got a lot to do with timing. If you put it, like if you've got ground ivy now, you treat now, it's going to curl over, it's going to come back. And like Richard said earlier, give that one a couple of shots in the fall. The later in the fall, the better.
All right, and the final question, what is the benefit of adding hay on top of the soil?
I don't know of one.
Okay.
Hay or straw. Now, they say hay, so I would specify that as a different material. Straw in the as a mulch at the time of seeding has some benefit to hold the moisture in, but applying hay, I wouldn't know of any benefit.
So don't do that, but would you recommend straw?
For a seeding now, if I can't water, if I can water, I would say don't mulch it in any way. Don't put straw on it, because that can carry weeds and things like this. But if you've got an area that you can't get water to and it's a little dry, the straw will help a lot, hold the moisture and get it up.
All right. Back to the phones. Marcia in Iowa City. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, good morning. I have a couple questions. First of all, all my flower beds, which are extensive, have been taken over by a weed called, I think I'm going to pronounce this right, Hairy Galinsaga. Is there any way to control that other than just picking buckets and truckloads of it?
Probably pulling, digging is your best option.
Yep.
Be very persistent. Don't let it go to seed. Try to get the plants when they're small before they have a chance to go to seed. Because if they go to seed, the seed population increases, and you're going to get more and more of it. So very persistent.
That's the problem. And my second question is, I like to grow vines, watermelon, squash. Mm-hmm. And this year, I like to grow them on plastic for the weed control and the heat. And I plant them. I cut a hole, a good-sized hole. But this year, they were beautiful, and then they just started dying. It's not vine borer. And I'm wondering, with the heat and the plastic and the wet, do I have a fungus? I don't see anything on them.
I would suspect a bacterial or fungal disease. I don't know which one, but that's what I would suspect. The squash vine borer is an insect that will bore into the larger stemmed plants like pumpkins and squash, but typically not the muskmelon or watermelon. So if you have a muskmelon, watermelon, if that plant suddenly wilts and dies, I would suspect either a bacterial or fungal disease.
All right. Marcia, thanks a lot for your call. And Ron's up next in Dubuque. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I have a flowering crab tree, this last spring I didn't get any flowers on. And then later in the year, the branches on the one side are dead. It's 15 years old. Is this tree worth saving, or what do I do?
Well, if half the tree is dead, then I would seriously consider replacing it. I mean, if it's lopsided, doesn't look good, that's not a good sign. And if it's half dead, I would suspect it's going to continue to decline and die further. So I think it's maybe a case of removing it. But you may want to wait till next spring to make sure. And then if most of it is dead or half of it's dead, maybe remove it.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. And we've got this email from Dave in Cedar Falls. What do you think of white clover as a substitute for Kentucky bluegrass? We have an acre that gets light traffic, and I am tired of mowing it.
White clover can be surprisingly nice. In fact, this goes back a long ways into the back to the 30s and 40s. People often mixed clover with the grass. That, as you've seen, we consider it a weed and people want to get rid of it, but it can be quite attractive if you're not trying to maintain a high-quality turf area. So, yeah, I don't have any problem with that, as long as they know what they're getting to. You can mow it and keep it down pretty low. So it's not going to take a lot of traffic, so that's a downside. But clover can be a decent substitute.
All right. Here's a question from Patty. I have southern exposure next to a 6-foot privacy fence. Is there a very tall grass I could plant there? How do I maintain it?
Well, as far as ornamental grasses, there are some that are very upright that would do just fine. For example, there's feather reed grass, probably the most common ornamental grass in the landscape. Grows about 3 to 4 feet tall, very, very upright, very columnar. It's not floppy. It's well behaved. If you want something bigger, slightly bigger, there's north wind switchgrass, which grows about 4 to 5 feet tall. Again, very, very upright, very columnar.
All right, and fairly easy maintenance?
Easy, yes. You just cut it down in early spring.
All right, here's a question from Teresa in Coralville. I planted butternut squash for the first time this year. How do I know when to pick them?
Basically, they're going to be a uniform tan. So there shouldn't be any green, basically a uniform tan, and they should be hard. As far as if you take your thumbnail, they should be very, very hard.
All right, here's one from Lynn. We cut back old juniper bushes and wonder about the best way to remove the roots. We left small stumps in case we need to pull them out. There are 5 stumps in a 6 by 8 foot area. Some have said cut them flush to the ground and they'll die. Others suggest stump remover. I want to plant a shade garden in the space and I don't want to mess things up. What should I do?
They're very hard to dig up or pull out. They have a huge root system. I would be inclined to maybe just cut them off at the ground, and that will kill the plant, and eventually they'll rot, and then kind of plant around as best I can.
Right, and if you plant a shade garden, chances are pretty good that you won't actually see the stumps, right?
Right, right.
All right, well, let's try to fit in a phone call here. Terry in Evansdale. Hi, Terry.
Hi. I just sprayed this earlier this week, some Weed Be Gone plus crabgrass with a tank sprayer I bought for my yard, and I have white clover. Creeping Charlie has taken a great lunge on my yard this year, and I have a weed that I call pig's ears. I don't think that's the correct name. They got about a 3 or 4 inch long leaf that's oval or elliptical shaped, and it's close to the ground like a dandelion. I am seeing some results from the spraying earlier this week, but I'm also noticing some of the grass that I have in my front yard has wide blades, and it seems to be killing that as well. And then I also noticed that what you were saying earlier about Creeping Charlie, it's best to spray in the fall, and I had already sprayed it. So I was thinking it was supposed to be sprayed when it was actively growing, according to what I was reading. But do I need to spray again, like in 3 to 4 weeks, or what do you recommend?
Yeah, first of all, that wider leafed one you described, I'm thinking that's probably velvet leaf, which can't take mowing very well, so good consistent mowing would do it. Your problem is timing, pre-emerge in the spring, and now treat again in late October for the other weeds.
All right, thank you so much for your call. Nick Christians, thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Geron, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Nick Christians, Iowa State University horticulture professor and turf grass specialist, ISU Extension horticulturist Richard Geron will be back again next Friday with Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Have a great weekend.